What they saying to me? Picture like that. So you know what's going, what she's saying. She's saying to me, picture like that. Because you've been moaning.
They can see you
look fine.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you for your help. Again, I didn't see it. Yeah.
Who's that? That's fun.
I'm going to be preaching.
Is this
Oh,
your Bible?
yeah.
hello, hello everyone.
Hello.
So sorry, I spoke in our dialect.
Even the
They are John Sandal.
Hi, Sarah. Good evening. Sorry, my computer is a bit slow, so bear with me. So we will now commence our worship, dearly beloved, by singing the first psalm, which is Psalm 149. 149. Psalm 149. 149. We will be led by Brother Andrew for the tune.
Yeah, I'm just getting the verse on, so I'm
Okay.
so sorry. I turn my phone. Yeah, right. Yes, it's 1 to 6.
Okay, verses 1 to 6.
Sorry. Praise ye the Lord, to whom is a new song and his praise. Joy and to
You've been waiting for you. Wanting to see you, isn't ya?
My granddaughter.
And they listened about the
family
talk. And said you were mean.
What?
Yeah, he said it in my ear. You're not mean.
I'm not me.
Why would you say she's me?
I'm not me.
Hello. Who's that?
Are you going to tell them?
Hello.
Have they not got to press mute?
Can you please press mute because you are being heard? Sarah. No. They'll press themselves mute. Okay. It's all right. I just heard their sound. And in his glory, excellent, let all his saints rejoice, and let them to him upon their beds aloud lift up their voice. Let in their mouth aloft be raised the high praise of the Lord. Let them have in their right hand a sharp two-edged sword. I'd like to read that psalm a while ago, which is I know that we sang Psalm 149. I just want to read to you Psalm 73, which we opened a while ago in our prayer. It's in verse 28 of Psalm 73. It says, But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord, that I may declare all thy works. O Lord, our God, we just praise you and thank you, Lord, for the way that you have drawn us before the throne of your grace tonight, that we might worship you right with a right frame of mind and right motivation to glorify thee, to magnify thee with thou good and loving care and tender mercies towards us. In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for our sin. And in this privilege, O Lord, we are not, we feel unworthy because we feel also that we feel that we deserve to be punished for our sin. And yet, Lord, by your love and mercy and your grace, you allowed the only begotten Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sin and bear the punishment, every bit of punishment that those sin deserve for us to be punished. He took those punishments. And yet, we are filled with words not enough to describe the thanks that we need to thank you forever and ever. No wonder the Apostle Paul, or even the Apostle John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that he loved us so much, that he took those punishments for us. That's why, Lord, it's only you very gracious that we are called to be the adopted children of God. So help us to continue, Lord, to humble ourselves before thee and grant us the grace to be teachable, even as thy word has blessed us this morning, to be like our Lord Jesus Christ in his example to us, his disciples' feet, which summarize the whole aspect of his ministry, to be a servant to thy chosen people, a servant that took his life for our well-being, the well-being of our soul being saved by grace through faith alone, and for the glory of God alone, and through Christ Jesus alone. Please accept our praises, Lord, and thanksgiving. And do thy work right now, Lord, to draw us continually to yourself and help us to take heed of what you're about to say to us and respond in a way that will help us to know you more deeper and to do thy will in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, we'll sing the next psalm, which is Psalm 61. Again, Brother Andrew will lead us in the tune.
Yes.
Psalm 61. Please.
So it's verses 1 to 6.
Yeah.
Of Psalm 61.
Verses 1 to 6, please.
O God, hear us unto my prayers. God will respond. Do thou meet unto the Lord,
We shall be reading First John chapter 2 verse 15 to 17 and then Colossians chapter 3. We'll start with Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Colossians chapter 3, 1 to 10. Commencing reading verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ seated on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walk sometime when you live in them. But now you also put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. First John, when I turn to First John chapter 3. Verses 15. Let's go back to 14 to get the context. Chapter 3 of 1 John, beginning with verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Verse 15, whoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Verse 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Verse 17, but whoso hath is this world's good and seeth his brother having need and shut up his bowels of compassion. From him how dwelleth the love of God in him. I should be actually reading verse chapter 2 as well, verses 15, chapter 2, still in the same letter of John. First John chapter 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Lastly, verse 17, and the world passeth away, and the last thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. May the reading of God's word enable us to take heed of what God is going to say to us, what is ahead of us, that he will find us taking heed of his word. Amen. We will now sing the third psalm, which is 119.
It's the section, Resh, the 20th part. Verses
153 up to 160.
Yes.
Consider my affliction in
It's running low. The battery is running low. You didn't charge it. Can I get the charger? Do you have a recharger there? It's iPhone.
No.
I got a recharger downstairs.
That's all I have, my friend.
The recharger. Can you get it? Yeah, it's just getting low. Look, it's coming up. Sorry about this delay because this iPhone is running low, so we got to recharge it. The topic for tonight is how to deal with temptation, particularly the most common temptation of all is the sexual sin that not only unbelievers are find themselves in, but even Christians are included in this big temptation about sexual sin. That's why the context of all those texts that I have read to you is about the temptation of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. So that even as I begin to express this special concern, I wonder how many churches try to focus this, because it's an everyday spiritual battle that the people of God experience. The modern age, all the phone, all the various types of apps can provide by the devil's scheme, these temptations are devastating, and its allurement, not only the unbelieving world, but even the Christians, the people in the church. So that I would begin to say that Christians are certainly not immune to temptation, to lust, and sexual sin. The consequences of repeated failure in this area are devastating in its effect. And a believer who sins sexually brings shame to the name of the Lord. A child of God must seek to reflect his father's true character, according to 1 Peter chapter 4, chapter 1, verse 4, and up to the following verses, up to 19. Impurity in thoughts and actions is diametrically opposed to the purpose of God for salvation, to bring him glory to God. That is the life that he expects of us after salvation. I would like to remind you and myself that the heart is the first and most important battleground in conquering lust and sexual sin. Victory over sexual immorality begins with a new heart. Scripture tells us one of the ways we know if a person is truly a child of God is by looking at the pattern of his life. 1 John chapter 2, in a different version, says, by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and he does not keep his commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him, but whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has been perfected. By this we know we are in him. This does not mean that a child of God never sins, but it surely does mean that a saved person will not continue in an unbroken pattern of sin. To do that would be unnatural. Or in other words, it's not our natural tendency to sin continuously in a pattern of sin. The new life in us controls our lives, not to sin, but to honor God and to live a life that is filled with the Holy Spirit. And the fruit of the Holy Spirit are expected to live, to be the fruits of a child of God. Many become frustrated in their struggle to overcome sexual sin because they never seem to be to achieve lasting purity. And there are a lot of Christian divorces as well, because the desire to have lasting purity is in their experience, something that is missing, is something that is not achievable. Has that been your experience? One of the reasons you may not overcome sexual sin is as quickly as desired is your misunderstanding about the location of the battle, which is in the heart. The physical manifestation of sexual sin is simply the outworking of what has already been going on in the heart. And the heart is the battleground for our spiritual battle. The focus of your struggle in understanding the failure to overcome this sin, this sexual sin, or the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes, is another term for it. The focus of your struggle must be internal first and foremost. Whatever we see, it is actually processed internally by the mind. And then when it focuses in the mind and stay there and allow it to bear fruit, it comes to the heart and becomes an action which produces the sin. So that I would like to continually remind you tonight, temptation is a common experience of man that includes the unbelievers and the believers or the followers of Christ. We are targets of Satan. Adam and Eve, in their original holiness, were tempted. But the person who was tempted is not Adam. It was Eve herself. Jesus Christ, God's Son, as representative of man, was supremely tempted. In all points of his life, the temptation he has undergone proved the depths of his being. In other words, it proves the very internal being in its intensity to respond to the scheme of the devil. And yet, he was perfect. He did not sin. He suffered being tempted according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. Going back to that, I'd like to click that quickly before you in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. It says to this effect. For in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. That's why the only friend and the only person who is powerful is not found in this world, but only found in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, who could help us. We too experience trouble and heaviness and temptation. Peter acknowledged this by saying, you have been gripped by various trials, according to 1 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 6. We must not be engulfed by confusion and think that the very sinking of spirit in temptation is itself sin. No, being tempted is not sin. As I said a while ago, when that temptation is processed in the mind and approved our minds by our full will and an agreement that comes into the heart, and the heart approves it as well, then when it becomes an action, that's when it becomes sin. When this confusion about being tempted in various ways, the effect of this to most Christians is that it weakens our defense and make us more vulnerable to sin if we don't seek the proper wisdom and advice from the Word of God through what the Lord Jesus Christ also has taught his disciples. Remember this morning, he washed the disciples' feet to be an example in stirring up one another in love and the holiness of life of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in loving each other and forgiving one another. And love is the core of his ministry in saving the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So temptation is a testing designed by God to strengthen us. Or by the devil, in his various temptation, it corrupts the heart and mind. Satan uses a variety of temptation according to our personality and background. He knows his job. He knows every weakness of every person in this world, particularly the unbelievers and also the believers. At the point of our being a Christian, day one, the believer is already confronted with this temptation because the devil knows the personality and the weakness and the background of every believer. He knows where the weakness is. Man's five senses comes into contact with an evil world, and this becomes avenues of temptation. The temptation can develop our strength. James 1:3 said, the testing of your faith produces patience. And that's good. We should not be confused. We should not run out of proper response when we are tempted sorely in our faith, because it gives us, the testing of our faith gives us more patience. The patience not to respond improperly, but respond properly. The Greek word speaks of testing of your faith, working out or developing endurance or perseverance. In other words, it not only produces patience, but the Greek says it produces endurance or perseverance. This is the right aspect to see it. The Revised Standard Version says that it produces steadfastness. That's also the same as endurance or perseverance. A raw army recruit or any military establishment or level, a raw army recruit particularly must be trained and rested or tested before he can play an active role in the battle or before he can be put to war. A Christian who has not learned to overcome temptation is of little value to the kingdom of God or the cause of Christ. Faith develops perseverance in the test so that we may be mature and complete, not lacking anything, according to James chapter 1, verse 4. God makes us strong in and through the temptation. Think of it. Even in the midst of the vilest temptation, we can be strengthened and emerge victorious. And that is what temptation brings about. When God allows it, it allows us to be strengthened and emerge victorious rather than be discouraged. Temptation certainly comes from the devil and not from God. I must say that strongly. Temptation does not come from God. It comes from the enemy, the devil. But it is permitted by God for our good. And the effect of it, as we read a while ago, is perseverance, endurance, and patience. This is one, the word is the same. Think of it, yeah? As we meet and overcome temptation, we can grow in stature and strength. How is temptation at the moment? brings about that kind of result with God's effect? Does it give us, that is, brings about growth in our stature, in spiritual strength, and a bringing, a continuous trend of spiritual growth? Temptation affects the human race in three basic forms: the world, the flesh, and the devil. The threefold nature of the devil are those forms: the world, the flesh, and the devil himself. He uses the world, he uses the flesh, or the lust of the eyes, to the power of the devil. These threefold are every day being experienced by any believer. The moment you put your eyes on the news, the moment you begin thinking, if you are not set on the mode of thinking on the presence of God and in prayer and reading the Word of God, the mind can actually be used by the devil to go to where the devil wants to go. Remember, he is allowed to direct our thoughts. That's why he never stops. This is seen in 1 John 2:15, where I already read, where we are commanded not to love the world, neither the things that are in the world. These are represented under three headings, which is in verse 16 of chapter 2, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are afterwards reduced in verse 17 to the lust of the world. Because we are in this world's temptation used by the devil is being always flashed into our eyes, into our hearing, into our desiring, into our tasting and touching. And these things, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, is all there being produced in our present world. And we should be on this text that we are studying tonight should prepare us for the daily spiritual battle that is going to be experienced by each one of us. This threefold forms of the temptation, which is the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, this could be related to the temptation in the Garden of Eden in chapter 3, verse 14. The forbidden fruit, representing the world, the appetite that Eve lusted after, the first fruit, representing the flesh, the agent used to attract attention to the fruit, was the devil himself. And Eve rightly opposed the tempter. Did God really say? Has God really said that you will not eat of that fruit? So he implanted lies. Of course, Adam and Eve knows that. And she did well when she was first tempted by the devil. God asked them. But unfortunately, she did not persist in the course of that temptation. Our Lord Jesus, in Matthew chapter 4, did it very well and held it firmly, that the attempt to of the devil to tempt him three times, the word of God is straightforward from the mouth of our Lord Jesus. It is said, the word of God says, three times, that the word of God is depends. And the devil knows that. The word of Christ, the word of God, It all depends. But we cannot make it as a magic just to measure, just to say that word. We must say it in the mode of prayer and submission, submission to God's will. And sadly, Eve failed in the temptation of the devil. And another picture of this threefold form of the devil is given in Matthew chapter 4. I already told you that so. And Jesus, our Lord, is tempted to work a miracle to the is tempted to work a miracle to gratify the flesh, to take a shortcut to gain his rightful position as ruler of the world, and to bow down. And these are the various aspects in which the devil in Matthew chapter 4 dealt by our Lord Jesus Christ, and to worship the devil. Jesus is our example. Our Lord Jesus is our example in trying, in the most trying circumstances of his life. He trusted in God the Father and waited for God to work together in their response to the devil, being guided and sustained by what was written on the Word of God. He met every temptation. Our Lord Jesus met every temptation from the quotation from the scripture. And the Father's word was to him the sword with which he routed the great spiritual enemy who is ever plotting his ruin. Here we see the value of the scripture in Matthew chapter 4 and the importance of Satan. In other words, Satan is powerless when the word of God is spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, and because he lived it, and it is the word of God himself, the word of Christ, that the Bible speaks about. Although the devil may tempt us to fall, he cannot make us fall because the Holy Spirit make us stand up and call unto the name of the Lord Jesus to confess our sin for the precious blood of the Lamb to cleanse us. And you know that in 1 John 1:9. He may persuade us also to cast ourselves down, but he cannot cast us down because the Holy Spirit make us stand up and to revive us anew, saying unto our ears, this is the way to walk, which are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Uh-huh. Yet another picture of this evil alliance, or the triple form of the devil, of temptation, is in Ephesians chapter 2. We already read that, but it's good to remind ourselves again. Ephesians chapter 2 to 3. Wherein in time past, verse 1, I think it must be included, and you at he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. That is the words. The worldly work of the devil is working in the children of disobedience. Mm-hmm. And among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So the last, as we read in the course of this world, the last and the desires of the flesh and the prince of the power of the air are expressed in this text, which signifies that the last signifies selfish desire. And John gives us in our reading of First John chapter 2, from 15 to 17, give us three realms in which how the temptation appeals to the selfish desires of our body. So that first we will look the lust of the flesh. Here in the lust of the flesh, that First John chapter 2, verse 15 up to 17, here we judge everything by material standards and a life and live a life which is dominated by the senses. While it is right to satisfy a legitimate appetite, such as that of the sexual desires, that is only allowable and considered legal, is within the compounds of the marriage bond. And it is wrong to let that appetite to have its free course in the life of believers. To live a sensuous life is to be, among other things, lustful and lax in morals. Fleshly desires creeps into our affection as an angel of light. We are selfishly unwilling to give them up and enjoy a pleasant feeling of satisfaction and a growing impatience of any interruption of that enjoyment when that man or woman, whether unbeliever or believers, are reaching the climax of their desires. And when that focuses constantly in the mind and the heart of any people, they are becoming a habit, as natural appetites, as perverted and debased in the sight of God. The discipline and control of the body and its appetites, it slips away, and we slide into a dangerous realm of yielding to the flesh, to the lust of the flesh. And somebody's knocking. So that it is important that we should be mindful when the lust of the flesh is operating incessantly, and to call unto God in prayer so that God will fill our minds. If already tempted, we should confess those temptations to God so that He will wash us anew to those sins that were inspired by the temptation. And second, we must also look to the lust of the eyes. We have here a place of vulnerable temptation, the lust of the eyes, which is enumerated in 1 John chapter 2. It says in verse 15, love not the world, neither the things of the world that are in the world. If any man loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but of the world. So, as one walks in the streets, every street in the world, in every various ways, we are confronted in the world. Or even, for example, in any beach, one is conscious of the violent assault made upon the eye, or the eye that is like the gate that opens the means of temptation. Modern advertisement uses the female form to sell everything. What the eye sees and gloats over, the heart will soon passionately desire. There is first of all discovery, as the whole, as this matter of temptations holds the magic which is through the eyes. The eyes is the first organ that will absorb the temptation. And when the eyes open, this is translated very soon into desire. As the soul further yields to temptation, as I mentioned a while ago, the body or the temple of the Lord is desecrated by the impurity which is imported originally to the gate, which is the eyes or the eye gate. Thoughts are defiled when we entertain this temptation. Television, magazine, and the press are calculated by the devil to degrade the minds and smear the heart when we do not quickly repulse them in our prayer and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if they are allowed to continue, they continue to degrade our minds and cause the heart's corruption. Nowadays, sex appeal from both sides, male or female, is lauded as love. And the body of men and women are on sale in every form. And so that when there is sex, when there is an event, whether a social or informal or formal social events, we can see both sex, male and female, are calculating their design to make the other person attractive in their sight. They are calculated in such a way that a person, particularly the female form, would actually attract the attention of the male. And the way they dress and the way they move is always used by the devil to catch attention. And it can be indecent and immoral. These things we see in our imagination, if not controlled by the Holy Spirit and washed anew by the precious blood, can run riot in the minds of any person. Now go back to Eve. Eve saw the tree as a delight to the eyes. It fascinated her because there's no fruit that was seen by her. So it must be very tempting to eat it. To make the story short, she yielded with the direst of consequences. Achan, in Joshua chapter 7, verse 21, quoted, "I saw, I covet, and I took, and I hide, and he received just punishment for his disobedience and sin." The process begins with the eye gate, when we open our eyes. The process continues processing unless controlled by the advice of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. It can process a lot of things and leads us to sin. David, another example, David lustful looking at Bathsheba as he bathed in that situation, and that uncharted territory, caught David unprepared, which led to his adulterous relationship and caused a lot of problem in his life. What sin further that did David follow? Well, you can name them all. What sorrow did it brought to his life, to his repentant heart? And what tragic result it had in his family. Brothers and sisters, yielding to lust of the flesh and lust of the eyes leads the soul to disaster and tragedy. The pride of life, lastly, which is in chapter 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 15, the lust of life or the pride of life speaks of the vain glory of life. Pride in itself will not bring satisfaction to the man of God or to the woman of God, because a life of vain glory or the pride of life is a form of empty pride. It means that when the pride of life continues to control a person's life, it wants to claim for something to yourself any possessions or deeds or achievements, nor belong in our possessions in order to impress others and to exalt the self, is a form of temptation that breeds destruction and disaster if this pride of life will continue to dominate a person's life. Satan, therefore, attracts us with corrupt values and covetousness, covetous desires, and arrogant vanity of this world. We must learn to expect the constant pressure of temptation. Expect the unexpected. If we are not expecting the unexpected, the devil will actually find us unprepared. And so let us be alert to new forms and approaches of the devil throughout our lives. Every inch of the ground will be contested by the enemy. Well, I heard this statement to our new president because of the aggressiveness of the enemy of our neighbor, which is just 740 kilometers away from the Philippines, which is China. Inch by inch, as already invaded by them, by their soldiers, and our president in his oath said, "We will not allow our neighbors, whoever they be, to take every inch of our territory." And now he is doing that with the help of allied nation, particularly America. Every inch of the ground will be contested by the enemy. In other words, he will take every inch wherever we go to trap us. We must be aware of that. Even after this service, he has a plan to trap every child of God. Fortunately, and this is the good word and the good news, God knows how to deliver the godly to temptations, out of temptations. Let's go to 2 Peter 2:9. Let's go backward. It says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." You see, the devil is awaiting his punishment. He's already a defeated foe. He's already cast down, but somehow he's still allowed to do his business in throwing a lot of temptation to God's people. God wants us to watch and pray so that we don't enter into temptation, according to Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Let's look at that quickly. Matthew 26. And this is what it says in verse 41. "Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. The Spirit of God, with our spirit, not to yield to temptation, because the yield of the inner part of our spirit, which composes the mind, the heart, and the eyes. This is where the devil uses to inspire through the various temptations. But God, according to his command, you must take heed to watch and pray so that we will not enter into temptation. And the devil knows the more we get nearer to God, the more he gets closer to attempt us, to tempt us. Even after this service, there must be a lot of temptation awaiting God's people. He urged us, God also urged us to stand fast in the liberty by which Christ has made us free. Galatians 5:1. And this is important to remind ourselves. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage, the bondage of the corrupt mind and heart, which the devil uses in this world, the love of the things of this world. Our Lord Jesus himself suffered in temptation and is able to aid those who are tempted, according to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18. He gave us a marvelous word to us in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Let's quickly go to that verse. Galatians chapter 10, First Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. It says, but we will not boast of things with our measure, but according to the measure of the rule which God hath distributed to us, a measure to reach even unto you. Okay? Let it speak to us today. J.B. Phillips paraphrased to this verse, no temptation has come to your way that is too hard for flesh and blood to bear. But God can be trusted not to allow you to suffer any temptation beyond your power of endurance. He will see to it that every temptation has a way out, so that it will never be impossible for you to bear it. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, God can be trusted when we are faced with various temptations, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And finally, we should encourage ourselves that in the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, help us to realize that he indwells us and regenerates us. In other words, he caused every one of us to have that faith in Christ. If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, yet the spirit is alive of righteousness. Our final word for instruction tonight is found in Ephesians chapter 4. Quickly turn to that verse. And it is very important regarding this subject of temptation. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 to 24. I will quote, and this will be the message for us. Come on. If so, be that, in verse 21, if so be that you have heard of him, you have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. Verse 22, this is what the truth, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you may put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Well, dear beloved, may this word from our text we just read and from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 5 or 1 to 10, and also First John chapter 2, 15 to 16 or 17, may all these words of God, which are created in us and the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness, may encourage us to live such holy and righteous life. And lastly, as a Christian, you have been given both the responsibility and the power to stop sinning. You are able to do that because you have been spiritually joined to Jesus in his death on the cross and in his resurrection from the dead. If you are genuinely saved, you have a new and pure life by which you can please God. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is recreating you into his likeness, which is Colossians chapter 2, verse 9 to 14, says, and God has worked a miraculous transformation in your heart. And now he wants each one of us to draw on the spiritual resources which he has given us. May God enable us to flee from this wretched sin, which starts from temptation. And the Apostle Paul also struggled in this temptation, which is the bondage to sin in chapter 7 of Romans, verse 14. So the resources available to us, dearly beloved, are meditation on God's word, devotion to prayer, and fellowship in a biblical church, experiencing and rejoicing in the gradual defeat of sin is the utmost expectation that results from this meditation of the scriptures and devotion to prayer. May the nurturing of our soul, including our hearts, towards purity is what God expects of us, to put to death what is earthly in us. Help us to pray, O Lord. Heavenly Father, thank you for thy word which enables us to learn how to effectively face our temptations, not on our own strength, but the strength of your holy word, which you have addressed to the devil. That the word of God is our weapon in filling our minds and our hearts and our soul with the things of God, so that the fruits of the Holy Spirit, O Lord, is our desire tonight to fill each one of us, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, and self-control. Amen.
Amen.
We still have one song, Brother Andrew, isn't it?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, can we sing Psalm 118, please?
verses 17 to 25 of 118, verses 17 to 25.
Verses 18 to 25. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
Okay, Psalm 118, please.
Commencing with verse 17.
I shall not die, but live and shall go on discover. This is the beginning of God's promise. The John the stone is laid and the stone which has been blessed in his spies. This is the day God made. We'll join each other. Say now,
bless. Oh, that was 25. Can you close us in prayer, Brother Andrew?
Let's pray. May thy word affect our hearts, O Lord, by thy Spirit. Give us grace to be conformed more and more in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us now and forevermore. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, everyone. Can you see what with us?
Thank you, Ernie. Hey,
thank you. Oh, Brother Ivan, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you for this, yeah. And the rest, I know Sarah.
Yeah.
Hello. Thank you, Pastor Ernie. Thank you very much.
Hi, Lorna.
Okay.
Hello, Ivan.
Hi.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night. Good night. Good night, Dawn.
Good night.
Bye.
Good night, Dawn.
Good night, Dawn.
Bye.
Good night, Mary.